We're continuing to look at God's plan to grow the church His way. And we have looked at our need as individual Christians to get the sin out of our lives. We have looked at some things about Jesus that we need to exalt or that we need to emphasize in the church. We have looked at His name, because it is the name by which we are saved. We have also looked at the teachings regarding His sacrifice and regarding His deity as the Son of God. Tonight we want to take a look at how we need to exalt Jesus in His doctrine. Jesus' doctrine is the only thing that is the proper doctrine for the church to be teaching. As we consider this, the things about His doctrine that we need to emphasize. We saw in the scripture that was read from John chapter 12 that the doctrine that Jesus teaches, the teaching that He brings, it's not something that He just came up with on His own. This is the teaching of God. This is the doctrine of God. And so He talks about that. He even says, the one who believes in Me is not just believing in Me, but he's believing in the one who sent Me. He's believing in the Father also. And He says things similar to that on several occasions throughout the New Testament, and especially in the Gospel of John, these are recorded. But He goes on to say that He's not didn't come into the world to judge the world. We know He came to save the world. However, the things that He taught, the words that He spoke while He was here, were of such power and had such authority that anyone who rejects those words will be judged. Will be judged by those words that He has spoken, by those commandments that He has given. He says, I know, in verse 50, that His commandment, this is the commandment that He received from His Father, that He was delivering to mankind. He says, I know this commandment is eternal life. And yet, when people reject the commandment, it becomes exactly the opposite of that. It becomes eternal death to those who would reject the commandment that Christ brought from His Father. And so especially within the church, we need to exalt Jesus' doctrine. And we want to do that for five reasons that we'll look at tonight. First of all, because it is from heaven. Just as the passage in John says, there in John 12 that we read, also in John chapter 7 and verses 16 through 18, Jesus again says, My teaching is not Mine, but His who sent Me. So if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking of my own authority. And so Jesus makes it clear here that his teaching that He's bringing didn't come from man. It doesn't come just from some idle thoughts. These are the very teachings and commandments from God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 3 through 5, also Paul talks about this. He warns Timothy, who is a young preacher, and he says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, and evil suspicions and constant friction among people who are of a depraved mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So Paul here warns Timothy, watch out. If there are people that are coming in and they're teaching something different than what Jesus taught, that's a problem. And of course, we've seen over the centuries how that problem, time and time again, has risen its ugly head and has destroyed many as a result of it. But the fact that Jesus' teaching is from heaven, it's the teaching that's in accordance with godliness. And that's the teaching that we need to be listening to, and also that we need to be sharing with others. The second reason that we need to exalt Jesus' doctrine is that He has all authority and power. In Matthew chapter 28, right before He leaves to go back to the Father, He comes to the disciples, and the last thing that He says to them is, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now that means there's nobody who has any authority to teach anything any different than what He did. And so if we go beyond it, or if we neglect some of it, or if we refuse to accept some of His teachings, then we are outside of the authority that is given on heaven and in heaven and on earth. And then He goes on to explain to them that they are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Everything. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, Jesus makes it very clear that His disciples are to teach the same thing that He taught. All of what He taught. Not just pick and choose the things we like the best and ignore the things that are hard or the things that maybe don't fit with our culture or something like that. And again, time and again throughout history, people have made that mistake. Time and again throughout the Gospels, the idea that Jesus is one teaching with authority comes out. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, and we won't read all these, but also in Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, in Mark chapter 1 again in verse 27, and also in Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, all of these say something similar to, He was teaching with authority, and the people were amazed by it. Some variation of that combination. That they saw that His teaching was different because He was teaching as one who had the authority behind what He was saying. Because He does have that authority. It was given to Him to be God's spokesperson on earth. He was not just here on His own, but He actually was representing the Father and the Spirit when He spoke and saying the things that the Godhead had determined should be spoken to the people on earth. And that's what He taught. The third thing that we want to notice is that we need to exalt His doctrine because it is essential for our growth both individually and collectively as the church and for salvation. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 12, we see Paul on a missionary journey, traveling around. He's doing teaching. He's doing miracles. But in this case, there was a proconsul, a government official, who was beginning to become very interested in what Paul was teaching. There was a fellow by the name of Elymas, some also Bar-Jesus was his other name. And he had been influencing this government official, and so he tried to stop what Paul was doing. Well, Paul used the power and authority that he had of his abilities with the Holy Spirit to blind this Elymas. And verse 12 of Acts chapter 13 says, Then the proconsul, that's the government official, believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So it wasn't just the miracle, but the teaching, and of course in this case accompanied by the show of power of that miracle, indicated to him that he needed to believe what these guys were saying. And that of course was one of the main purposes of the miracles in the first century was to confirm that these people aren't just saying things because they feel like saying things. They're saying things that has power behind it. And those miracles confirmed that. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, Paul commands Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to exhortation and to teaching." In verse 16, he goes on to say, "Keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching," or the doctrine. "Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers," those who hear you. So Paul makes it very clear that the doctrine, the teaching that you teach, now he says, yes, keep a watch on yourself. Live the right kind of life. And John talked about that this morning when he talked about being the example of Christ in the world, of showing the compassion, doing the good deed. Do what is right. Not bribing people. Not tricking people. Not promising people things and then not delivering. You know, yes, be honest people. Be good people. Do those things. Be a Christian. Live that life. But also, be sure that you know what you're teaching. Be sure of the doctrine you're teaching. And he said, in doing these two things, keeping a watch on yourself and on what the teaching is, you'll save yourself and you'll save those who hear you, those who listen to you. Hebrews 6 also tells us that we need to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ, the basics. Not that we abandon them. He doesn't mean that we desert them. But he says we need to move on beyond that. We need to build on that to higher things. He says, leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. You know, we would think, for example, a college student who is still trying to do single-digit addition is not moving on like they should. They ought to be beyond that. Doesn't mean that they forget how to add the single addition. Doesn't mean they ignore that and that we just throw that out. We don't need that anymore. You'll always need that. And the same thing with the elementary teachings of Christ. We'll always need those basic things. But we can't just live there. That's not enough. We need to build on those things and go on to a level of maturity. What's always shocking to me is, look at the things that he lists when he lists the things that are the elementary teaching. And see if we aren't sometimes guilty of spending an awful lot of time dwelling on the elementary teachings, and sadly so in some cases. Notice what he says, "Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Repentance and faith, those are the elementary things. "And of instructions about baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." Really? I mean, some preachers, that's all they ever preach is those things. They never move beyond those things. And yet he says, these are things, yeah, did we need to learn those things? Yes, we need to learn those things. But let's move on. Let's dig in deeper. Let's go beyond those basic things. We should, you know, it's sad to me to see those who have been Christians for 10 or 20 or 30 years who are having to be reminded again about how you need to repent when you sin. Or how, you know, there's a judgment day coming and God's going to judge us and we're going to have to go to heaven. These are not things that after we've been a Christian for a period of time that we should have to be going over again and again. That's not good. We need to build on that. We need to dig deeper and go beyond that. We need to start digging into the meat of the Word and eating it instead of just the milk. And these are the milk things that he says. But yes, the doctrines of Christ, the elementary doctrine is necessary for our salvation. We've got to know about repentance. We've got to know about baptism. We've got to know about faith. We can never become a Christian otherwise. and other people can't. But the doctrine of Christ also is there for our growth, to grow beyond the infant level or the child level, to grow beyond the time that we would only eat, drink the milk and get to the point where we can eat the solid food. The fourth thing that we want to notice is that we need to exalt Jesus' doctrine because it's not a secret. There were groups toward the end of the first century. John combats it some in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John letters that he writes, and it's kind of probably an underlying current in Revelation too. But in the end of the first century and on into the second century, there were a group of people called Gnostics who, their whole idea was that we've got this secret knowledge. The word Gnostic means to know. And so they had this secret knowledge that, you know, you had to get into their secret club in order to have the secret knowledge. And yet, the disciples and Jesus himself never made a secret of the things that they taught. Yes, Paul says that the things that they're teaching were a mystery. Yes, Paul says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that are in the world and don't believe. But the things they taught openly. We see it with Jesus in John 18, 19 through 21. The high priest questioned Jesus and his disciples about his teaching. And Jesus said, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why are you asking me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." Isn't that great? It doesn't have, you know, it's hard to keep a secret. Unless, of course, it's something you're supposed to share and then you don't tell anybody. It's like reverse psychology with us sometimes. If Jesus, you know, Jesus said he had this problem, he'd go and he'd tell somebody, heal somebody, and they'd say, "Now don't tell anybody." They'd run off telling everybody. Found another guy, healed him, he said, "Go tell what the Lord's done for you." That guy wanted to get in the boat with him and run away from what he Why is it we're like that? It's like whatever we're told to do, we want to do the opposite. But Jesus wasn't shy about what he believed. He spoke it. He taught it in public. The disciples were the same way. They arrest Peter and John because they were teaching about Jesus. They beat them. They say, "Don't go teaching about him anymore." Guess what? Next day, where are they? Out there teaching about him again. It's not a secret. But sometimes we act like it is the biggest secret in the world and nobody can know. We talk about it inside these walls. But that's it. Outside these walls, we need like a secret handshake so we can recognize each other, but we don't want to let anybody else know we're... That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's good news that's supposed to be shared. The doctrine of Christ is this commandment from God about eternal life. That's good news. The fifth thing that we want to notice is that other teaching is destructive. We need to exalt Christ's teaching because it's good for growth, it's healthy, it helps us grow as individuals, it helps the church grow, it helps bring salvation. But also, any other teaching, any contrary teaching, is going to be destructive. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus had... the disciples are so much like us. Jesus says things and they just don't get it. He had fed the 5,000 with just a little bit of bread and fish. He fed the 4,000 with a little bit of bread and fish. And then they're out on a boat. And Jesus tells them to beware of the leaven of the leavened bread of the scribes and Pharisees. Well, they start talking amongst themselves. Oh, he's mad because we didn't bring any bread to eat. And he even reminds them, he says, you know what? Don't you remember? I fed 5,000 people with just a little bit. You know, you don't have to worry. We're not going to starve to death. I fed 4,000 people. Food's not a problem here. That's not the issue. And then they understood that he wasn't telling them to be aware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And again, Paul talks about how a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He's talking about the influence of a false teaching, whether it be a verbal teaching or whether it be a teaching by action. Now, we say actions speak louder than words, and that certainly can be a true statement in many situations. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles that are contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, and avoid them. These people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. We've got to watch out. There are falsehoods out there. There are other doctrines out there. Jesus on many occasions talked about how people had made their own commandments. They had made their own doctrines and teachings. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4, Paul also warns about getting caught up in things like myths and endless genealogies and telling, you got to tell these people to don't teach any different doctrine. Don't teach anything other than the doctrines of Christ. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4 also talks about how some will turn away from listening to the truth. They won't endure sound, healthy teaching. Revelation 2, verses 14 through 16 warns the church there about the teachings that they had that were not good teachings, that they were contrary to what Christ had taught. They had teachings of Balaam, they had the teachings of the Nicolaitans, and he said, if you don't repent of this, I'm going to come fight against you with the sword of my mouth. 2 John 1, 9 through 11 warns us that if someone does not abide in the teaching or doctrine of Christ, they don't have God. And whoever abides in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes and does not bring this teaching, don't receive him into your house. Don't greet him as a brother. Don't bid him Godspeed, the old King James says. Whoever greets him in this way takes part in his wicked words. We've got to watch out, because these things are destructive. They'll destroy the body of Christ. They'll destroy us individually. They'll destroy others. If what Paul told Timothy about how paying attention to the life he lived and the teaching he taught would save him and save others, then not paying attention and teaching doctrines different from what Christ taught will cause you to lose yourself and cause others to be lost also if they listen to you. So we need to beware of that. As we conclude, I'll tell James next time you see him, I did it tonight. We'll get out a little early tonight. He said, I just couldn't do it. I just can't get out early. Can't stop. But as we conclude, I want us to think about the teaching of Christ, the words that He spoke. When He was on that Mount of Transfiguration, as we often refer to it, where He was changed before the eyes of Peter, James, and John. And He was there with Elijah and Moses, and they were talking, and Peter kind of gets out of his little stupor and realizes what's going on, and he's like, oh, let's make a temple for a tabernacle or a tent, or let's make a place for Moses, and we'll make one for Elijah, and we'll make one for Jesus. And before he even finished saying the foolishness that he was spouting, God interrupted him. A voice from heaven, the Father, speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Listen to him. And then, of course, when they looked up again, Moses and Elijah were gone. It was just Jesus there. We need to take to heart the words of the Father from heaven. Listen to the teachings of Jesus. And those are the teachings then that we need to be teaching as well. Listen to them. Teach them. Don't get distracted by other things. Don't allow ourselves to be teaching things other than what He commanded to be taught. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to God's invitation, if you've not obeyed the teachings of Christ, there is no better time than now to start doing that. Wherever you are, whether you've never obeyed His commands for what you need to do to become a Christian, if you've never believed in Him, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never confessed Him, if you've never been baptized, wherever on that road you are, you need to do that. Take that next step. If you have done that, but perhaps there are other areas in your life where you just haven't grown, maybe you've just been hanging on to those elementary doctrines, those basic principles, and you haven't grown beyond that. Whatever the case may be, if you have a need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.